It's Saturday morning, time for Green Country Gardener. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlees Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. And a Saturday morning Green Country Gardener with you. And again, Larry Glass over to the other microphone. And the weather trying to make up its mind, whether it's January or March. With the other morning at about 6 o'clock, I think it was minus 2. But now we're looking at 51 at this hour and headed for a high somewhere in the mid-60s. Good morning, Larry.
Charlie, good morning. Yeah, yesterday we were actually able to break ground and get a hole in the ground. But you had to take your sharp shovel and cut a square around it and lift up the frozen part. Then you can get into the ground.
Well, I'm sure a few people are going to be tempted with the nice temperatures for the gardener to get out and trim some stuff. And maybe they should and maybe they shouldn't. But I know the weather is going to tempt them.
Yeah, the wet part of winter, the snowy part, hasn't gotten here yet.
Yeah.
As you can see, as the precipitation seems to be increasing in the general region, it's further east and it's migrating this way. It usually happens every year. If you notice the weather patterns every year, I do. Mm-hmm. That it'll start raining or snowing in Alabama. It then moves into Arkansas, which is in Arkansas right now. It rains a little bit more there than it does normally. And now it's in eastern Oklahoma, this weather system we're supposed to be having. We're supposed to have more rain east of us than we are here.
Okay.
And it'll start to get, as the globe shifts and all that, well, the globe doesn't stay the same.
Well, it wobbles a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, did you feel it the other day?
Yeah,
it was weird. But anyway, the globe stays the same. It goes around the sun, and the angle is relative to the sun. It doesn't change. So anyway,
yeah.
So as that occurs, the weather patterns shift, and we get more chances of precipitation and tornadoes and stuff. So, however, in late January, February, early March, we have better chances of snow.
Yes.
Because that weather pattern shifts. So anyway.
Okay. I was going to almost do an Andy Rooney. Why is that?
It's because of the weather shifting. But anyway, that's why. So it was cold and it's going to continue to be cold, but not as cold. But fortunately, there's going to be a little bit more precipitation associated with the cold weather as time goes on.
Okay, so I guess with the nice weather this weekend, would I be fooling my double knockout that's in my front yard if I trim it?
No, not at all. In fact, looking at the knockout roses and all the roses I've looked at all over town, including my own, they received some damage from the cold.
Okay.
And, of course, it was cold.
Yeah,
it was. And it was a little dry associated with it. So there is a little bit of damage associated on your roses associated with the weather.
Okay.
So they do need to be cut back in response to that. Otherwise, all that dangling dead stuff is going to be there into the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an open invitation for stem disease and black rot of the stem and all that. So
how far back can or should I take it this time of year? It needs to be smaller anyway, but I want to time it right.
Yeah, I've cut my knockouts down to about 12 inches high.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And because you can cut them just about all the way to the ground. They'll come back. They're getting a little old, and some of the growth in there was kind of corky, so I took all that stuff out.
Which is what my concern is, if I trim what seemed like all the green stuff off of it, that all I'm going to have left is wood, and it would just sit there. So I wasn't sure.
No, they'll come back real life. You can cut them back real low. And when you do cut it back, look at the existing canes, roses, canes, coming up. And if there's some that look just kind of, the word I use is corky.
I understand.
Uh-huh. Yeah. To look like cork.
I played clarinet. I understand cork. Yeah, it's fine.
So, yeah, okay. But anyway, you ought to cut those out because they're not going to contribute much to the plant.
Okay.
In fact, some of them are so bad they just broke off. So I've been fairly fortunate in my house in that I haven't had any problems with the Rosette's disease on my knockout roses.
I have neither, so far
they're
good.
They're kept away from the house. The closest I have them is about 8 feet away from the house, and I think that helps a lot. I notice some people who have troubles with their knockout roses, they are typically associated with pavement or close to the house. The environment that mites really do prefer. So perhaps that might have something to do with it. I don't know. Or just keeping them consistently cut back might have something to do with it, too. My Julia Child Rose is, however, fairly close to the brick or stone of the house. And it it gets a little bit warm there, but it doesn't seem to have any problems yet.
Good.
I did see something that looked kind of erroneous, and I cut it way back. You know, because to get out of my truck to get into the house, I'd get very close to Julia. Sometimes out, too close. And I look
Julia
at
reminds
it.
You that she's there.
Yes, yes, she does. And I noticed something weird on it, so I just took my pruning shears out of my back pocket and just cut it right then and there.
Okay.
So as a landscaper, I usually...
Well, you would probably have all the proper tools and implements within at least easy reach.
Within reach, yeah. So you have to. So anyway, cut that back. No problems. I do need to cut her back, though, a little bit. Now, that one is a particular rose that is true to form all the way through the root.
Mm-hmm.
So you can cut it back real low, too, and it's going to get cut back, too.
It's not a grafted rose where you're...
Precisely.
You could theoretically take it back to rootstock.
Yeah, some of the hybrid teas have a recessive gene in them as far as a root system is concerned, so they ritualistically attach a wild rose graft to the top, and it has a more aggressive root system, and it can feed the top. So you can get these roses, like, you know, big smelly roses.
Yeah.
Smell good roses.
Yeah. Those are great.
So
yeah.
That's kind of why they do that. But anyway, so... That's kind of something you can do today if you really want to get out in the garden is prune back your roses.
Okay.
And also, I noticed on the patio this morning, it was sweaty, and the roads are kind of wet right now, too.
Mm-hmm.
My old truck kind of slipped and slid a little bit, so I had to ease up on the throttle. So the roads are a little bit slippery right now just from moisture sweating up or attaching and stuff, because the ground is colder than the atmosphere. It's just like a glass of water out in the sun, it'll
get sweat. That nice condensation out there.
Condensation, precisely. So, and that might have some bad effect on your landscape equipment, too, your gasoline engines and so on. So, hopefully you winterize them properly.
Hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, anyway, that's kind of what's happening right now. Now, it's a good time to plant trees in the landscape. It's a good time to transplant now. If you got a tree that's kind of in the wrong place, and it's been growing on its own, you can transplant it, but there's a bit of loss in transplanting a tree that's not really been properly grown and root pruned through the years. You might lose it, or it'll get set back.
You could at least root prune this weekend and then give it a few weeks to recover and move it later in the year.
It might work.
Okay.
Because most of the trees in the wild have roots that go really
way out,
further out than what you think.
Really big shot.
And what's within the area that we can actually physically lift without the assistance of a backhoe?
Yes.
Is not. It's mainly for storage and support. And feeder roots are way out there, so it has to develop a new root system to cope with the weather. That's one reason why this is a good time to do it if you have to do it, or if you've not pruned your roots, now it's probably a better chance for it to survive.
Okay.
Is doing it. Transplanting it right now at this point. Now, if you do that, you want to get what we have, Root and Grow Root Stimulator.
Okay.
This is a product we're carrying now. And it's got 0.0004% indole-3-butric acid, which those of the horticulturally inclined people know that is a growth hormone. And it's got some 410-3 fertilizer in it, too. So good for transplanting houseplants, vegetables, fruit trees, berries, and flowers and trees, shrubs and ornamentals, anything really that has to be transplanted, this stuff works pretty well. And what I like about the packaging on this particular product is you open up the little envelope in the back, you can anticipate an entire encyclopedia of information before you get to know what you got to do with
all the MSDS stuff that you won't sift through and read because it's too complicated.
First page on this little thing when you open up, how to use, shake well before using.
That's good directions for anything.
Shaken, not stirred.
Yes.
And this product is concentrated. It must be diluted with water according to the following rates. It's used on flowers, shrubs, and trees, and houseplants. 3.5 tablespoons per gallon of water.
That's right on the first page, first paragraph?
Very, very clear instructions right in here. That's what I really like. So this is a homeowner-geared product. And it does have these stuff you can't do in California. It takes up the rest of it.
Well, if anybody in California is listening on our web feed, then they'll have to use separate directions.
Yeah, either that or drive to Nevada and buy it.
Okay.
So shake it up and mix it up this amount. And what this does is stimulate the root system to branch out.
Okay.
So instead of having a single root, it'll divide and have more roots on it. And it also offers some basic nutrients that are necessary.
Sounds like that would be good for a lot of situations, but when do you really prescribe that sort of?
Whenever you plant something, or okay. if you have a plant in the landscape that is just not doing well. And it might be due to the soil type, which is probably
likely
99.99% of the time that, you know, there's the wrong kind of soil for it.
Northeast Oklahoma, Southeast Kansas, sometimes we have some deficient soils.
Or it could be just the plant is just kind of lazy. This will probably work wonders on your hydrangeas because they really need a hefty root system to produce those great big blooms that we like on hydrangeas. It takes so much energy to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if the root system can't develop on a hydrangea, it won't do it because it doesn't have the strength. So this should help it out a whole lot, too.
Okay. 800-749-5936, the telephone number that gets you on the air with Larry Glass on Green Country Gardener. We'll take your phone calls coming up in just a bit.
Talking with Brent at United Rentals.
A towable boom cherry picker where you can get up high and do some tree trimming.
Yep, we have two different sizes. Usually keep a 50 and a 34 footer. Just like the big booms, you tow it behind your pickup, you spot it, you can trim your tree, you can paint your house, fix your soffits, whatever works for you. 3801 Southeast Nevada Road, 918-333-9580.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has a great selection of plants for inside and outside the home. Fill your home with vibrant houseplants, cactus, hanging plants, and more. Come by Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road and check out Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, winter hours, Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 4.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-33
These days, it's easy to have information overload. Sometimes I just want to kick back, hear my favorite music and the news that affects me. That's why I stay tuned into my local radio station. When important news happens in my part of town, I hear it from them first. For the best entertainment, sports, news, weather, and traffic, anytime, anywhere, I stay local. Support your local stations. Text RADIO to 52886. Furnished by the NAB and this station. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
The telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Lines are open right now if you have a question for Larry Glass.
So relocating plants, now's a good time of year to do that. Also, if you're wanting to get some fruit trees, you got to get on the ball and get them ordered.
Okay.
Don't wait until June. Most of them are available either bare root from the fruit tree growers, or sometimes we can get container plants.
As a nurseryman, that's not something you normally stock because they're only really available.
There's so many different varieties out there, and it's difficult for us to inventory, you know, 20 varieties of cherry trees and 10 varieties of peach trees and so on. So we just leave it up to the fruit tree producers to provide those. And there's some favorites that we can still get or we can get. So, but anyway, on our 25th wedding anniversary, we ordered some fruit trees for our house.
Okay. And that's why I get to benefit from the plums and the cherries and that sort of thing.
Exactly. That was like 12 years ago. But anyway, and they're doing very well, actually. I got some good spurs on the cherry trees.
Great.
I do need to do a little bit more pruning on the plums. You got all winter to do that. Yeah. But we're running out of time. It's getting close to the middle of February. And that's when you need to think about putting stuff down on your fruit trees for winter for the wake up thing. Mm-hmm. The dormant oil and your fungicide sprays. You know, consider putting that on a little bit later. So anyway, we'll talk about that later on. But we're talking about transplanting right now.
Yes, well, the trees are
so
all...
So anyway, sleeping. You look at the diameter of the trunk of the tree. Say it's as big around as your wrist.
Okay.
Which is not that big.
Yeah.
Inch and a half. So you want to go out probably at least 10 inches or so from the trunk.
Okay.
And all the way, or make some vertical cuts. After you sharpen your shovel, make some vertical cuts in there, and then you want to dig a trench past that. So you want to have kind of a trench around that area with you that you cut.
Oh,
yeah. See.
Okay.
So you dig that trench around after you make a vertical cut around the tree. Then you dig a trench out, and then after you get that trench dug out, you take your shovel and cut inwards towards the tree, all the way around, and mm-hmm. that'll cut off a majority of the roots. Now you'll also want to look at the soil type. The soil you have, and see if it if the soil mass will hold together when you do cut it.
Okay.
Typically, that's not a problem here. We have a hard time getting it to come apart. But sometimes, in a lot of cases, there's situations where the soil just simply will not hold together. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, then you want to do a test first and check your soil out on your shovel full of soil and see if it holds together nicely.
Okay.
If it doesn't hold together real well, you want to water it. And probably wait either a few hours or till tomorrow, perhaps, or the next day, to dig the tree up.
Okay.
Because if the roots fall out, all the roots are exposed. And if it's not too big a root system and the tree's not too old, it can survive being bare root. But if it's the bigger it gets, the less of a chance it has to survive being bare root.
Right.
So you want to try to have as much soil as possible attached to this tree as possible, or shrub.
If I were to dig the hole where the tree is going to be first, I would have some idea of
soil conditions.
That would
be a great idea. Yeah. Good idea. So take that diameter and then cut it in half and multiply it by feet and whatever. So if it's a foot and a half or an inch and a half across, you go a foot and a half times 0.5, and that's the diameter. It should be about a foot and a half diameter.
Okay.
You know, a foot per inch, if you will. Like a 4-inch tree. If you got this big mammoth 4-inch tree, you have to dig out at least a 4-foot wide diameter.
So it's a 2-foot radius from the trunk of the tree.
For a 2-inch tree, yeah.
Yeah.
No, 2-foot diameter for a 2-inch tree.
Yes.
Yeah, about this wide. And then for a 4-inch tree, you're getting into the big league stuff there.
Yes, definitely.
So anyway, so that's kind of a little bit of the measurement you take. And then you dig it up and put it in this hole and take this root stimulator, which will help the roots grow, in addition to your water, and it'll establish pretty well.
Okay.
So, kind of the same thing with shrubs. Shrubs have a better chance of survival. A lot of your shrubs have a more tight-knit root system. And a lot of shrubs you get were nursery grown, and they come that way with in a container mm-hmm. with a fairly concentrated root system. And it takes a few years for that to really venture out beyond the root mass and take onto the soil around. Mm-hmm. So they're fairly easy to move. They've not been planted any longer than, say, 2 or 3 years. So, oh my goodness, I planted this shrub way too close to the house. I can't get in the front door. We bought a piano and I can't get it in. What do I do? Well, one solution is to cut it back real far instead of transplanting it. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some plants you can do this, some plants you can't. For instance, Mughal pines and some species of a pine you really can't cut back real far.
No.
Arborvitaes you can.
You destroy the shape of the overall tree.
Well, that, and it won't recover.
Yeah.
Because what you're going to be left with is basically a miniature hat rack if you cut things back real far. Things like nandinas, orpheopon hollies, boxwoods, yews, those kind of Rosa Sharons and all that, they can be cut back really sternly, and still you can expect them to come back. But some you just simply can't. And those are typically members of the pine family.
Okay.
So if your Mughal pine's too big, well, I would move the sidewalk. or try to move the whole thing, because it can't be really cut back and effectively returned to where it was. It just doesn't have that ability to do that.
And if you can't do that, I guess then you plan on a new Mughal pine.
Get another one.
Yeah.
And there are some varieties. There's one called Slow Mound, which we can only get from an outfit in Oregon. We're going to get some in the spring. The stays really small. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of excited about that one, too.
Okay.
So anyway, so things could be moved, things could be planted, transplanted right now, and what do we do with our lawns? Well, not much.
Right now, enjoy it.
Enjoy it. We did get a good inventory of pre-emergent weed control in right now.
Okay.
It also has some post-emergent weed and, not weed and feed, but a granular type weed control in it that works through vapors.
Mm-hmm.
It's still not consistently warm enough to expect any great deal of control.
Right.
Using a weed and feed type fertilizer.
On the vapors, what do they take, a minimum of like 62 degrees or something?
48
like?
Hours.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, minimum 50 degrees or so, about 48 hours.
Uh-huh.
For that stuff to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't rain during that time period too. And some of the manufacturers have different directions on them. And you look at the back of the bag and it's just like this huge thing to read. But you look for, you skip through the California stuff and look for the directions, and it'll tell you when to water and how long and what you can expect from this product and how it's going to work. So,
okay.
So we do have some of that stuff in right now. And what we have is strictly the herbicide. Doesn't have the fertilizer in with it, so you're not wasting your money on fertilizer that the Bermuda grass can't use till May.
Right.
So it's just strictly the herbicide and the control. And the pre-emergent herbicide in there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. And that's the advantage of buying chemicals and fertilizer and that sort of thing from a local garden store as mm-hmm. opposed to the big box store, because you've got staff that make those recommendations.
Well,
and you're not.
We go through the trouble to research these products
mm-hmm.
and learn about them and talk with the suppliers and find out how to use them and what they're for. And how well do they work in this region? And even we have an ag inspector that we can consult with too on some things too. And I do. And what's the best way to do this and that and whatnot? And he can advise on that. And we come up with the best solutions for people based on that.
Okay, sounds great.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah.
So this is something you might consider doing. And another thing on your lawn also: spring dead spot is a problem. A lot of times with Bermuda grass. We've mm-hmm. discussed this in the past. And it's an organism. I'm not going to go through the genus and species of it. It's crazy.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, it's a soil-borne pathogen that is considered to be indigenous in most soils. In other words, it's there in the soil.
Yeah.
Just waiting for a signal to grow. And typically that's associated with snow cover. And snow cover in February is typically what causes the stuff to grow. And it kills off the Bermuda grass in patches. And a lot of people say, well, what can I do about it? Well, you got to dig out the grass and some of the soil and bring in a little bit of soil. And you can take plugs from the surrounding grass. And by the end of May, it'll probably fill in. It'll be a long memory, mm-hmm. forgotten memory. And or actually, in those areas where you do have it, you can put in some zoysia in those patches.
Oh, okay.
And it'll grow out and eventually take over the Bermuda grass. Now, the spring dead spot is typically associated with areas that have more heavy clay soil in them. In other words, it can't percolate and breathe. It holds water real well. When it snows, it's insulated from the cold, from the real cold, and the ground warmth lets this fungus grow, and it attacks Bermuda grass. So, but that's not been a problem lately.
No.
we haven't had the snows that have been that have stayed on the ground long enough for this to happen. So it's so long. So far, we're not going to have much of a problem with it. But you can slow down the spread of the spring dead spot by cutting back on nitrogen in the fall.
Which is why, with the exception of I guess it depends on what type of grass you got.
Bermuda grass. Yeah, if you have Bermuda grass and you fertilize it in September with the high nitrogen fertilizer, you really want a lot of bang on your Bermuda grass in mm-hmm. September and before the freeze hits. Well, it has weak stoloniferous growth on it. And you get some kill off in the spring because of that,
mm-hmm.
if we have cold like we had this spring. And you get spring dead spot pretty bad by doing that too, because it's rapid growth and the stolons just aren't strong enough. And they succumb to the disease.
Okay.
So my advice is just don't fertilize Bermuda grass past the middle of August.
Mm-hmm.
At least don't use a heavy nitrogen fertilizer. And don't get slickered into buying winterizer stuff. That's primarily for fescue grass.
800-749-5936, and we are talking about your garden and how you can have a greener, more pleasant, carefree yard next year, or even later on this year, as a matter of fact. 800-749-5936. We'll take your phone calls coming up in just a bit on Green Country Gardener.
When it comes to banking, it can be hard to find a place where you feel like more than just a number. At American Heritage Bank, we combine over 110 years of experience with the highest quality of customer service to give you an unparalleled banking experience. Stop by one of our convenient locations or visit us at ahb-ok.com to experience the difference. American Heritage Bank, member FDIC.
If your yard is not flourishing, consider this. Talk to the experts at Enterprise Sod Store. They will tell you that sod is the answer to an instant yard and is mostly weed-free. Enterprise Sod has three kinds of sod: Bermuda, Zoysia, and Fescue. They'll pick up and deliver your sod and train you how to install and care for your sod. If you're a current or new homeowner or a landscaper or contractor, call the sod experts at Enterprise Sod Store 918-333-6888. Stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has a great selection of plants for inside and outside the home. Fill your home with vibrant houseplants, cactus, hanging plants, and more. Come by Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road and check out Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, winter hours, Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 4.
Bring the beauty of birds to your yard with nutritious bird food found at Peter's True Value. Right now, your choice of True Value bird food is just $4.99. Want to attract colorful songbirds? Then choose a 20-pound bag of wild bird food. Or for year-round feeding of a variety of birds, select a 10-pound bag of black oil sunflower bird seed. Both are fortified with vitamins and minerals. Check out these bargains of the month while supplies last. Peter's True Value in Dewey. Behind every project is a true value.
The telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Taking your phone calls with Larry Glass. 800-749-5936. And we're talking about things inside and outside the house.
Inside the outhouse, yeah. Inside the outhouse. Inside and outside the house, yeah.
You could, but I don't know. There's not that many of them around.
Well, no.
Yeah.
You asked me about your amaryllis bulb.
Yes.
When we're off the air. And what do I do with it?
Right now, I'm just going to enjoy it because it's big and tall and red.
Got lots of blooms on it. Beautiful, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Right after blooms, you want to cut off the stalk.
Okay.
And then if it's in a small pot, sometimes they ship in a real small pot.
Mm-hmm. Not too bad.
You want to transplant it up into maybe a larger pot so its root system can spread out and develop a little bit more.
Okay.
And then just keep it and maintain it in the house with as much light as you possible and water it till the surface of the soil gets dry. Don't let it stay too wet because they don't like soggy soil. And then once it warms up consistently outside, typically the middle of April, transition it to the outdoor climate.
Okay.
By putting it on the north side of the house or something for a while close to the house, and then you can move it out on the patio somewhere. If we don't have a tornado in the woods, not with the wind, with the high winds. But anyway, and then let it grow and develop and prosper all winter long, or all summer long, rather, out on the patio in this bigger container. Mm-hmm. Give it some Osmocote to give it some consistent fertilization as it grows. And then about the end of October, first of September, try to create kind of an artificial dry period. Stop watering it.
Okay.
And then let it get dry and it kind of wilt.
It's just still outside, so if it rains, it's going to get watered, but I'm not going to purposely water it.
Yeah, don't purposely water it. Let it get a little bit on the dry side.
Okay.
And then it'll kind of wither away and then just sort of cut off the stalks. And then you bring it in the house and keep it in a consistent, fairly cool climate in the house. And then about Thanksgiving or sometimes before, depending on how vigorous it was, you start to see a little growth on the tip. And when that happens, bring it out and really water it real good. In the brightest sun as possible, and then it'll bloom again.
Okay. Looking forward to that. But right now it's
it has to have the leaves on it in order to redo the bulb, for lack of a better word, replenish the bulb.
Yeah.
Throughout the summer.
Okay.
And it takes a bit of time to get enough strength up to produce that. And actually, it has to be stimulated to do that by a change of environment. And that typically what causes a physiological change in the bulb is the change in the environment like that will cause it to produce a bulb or a flower inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it grows up again. Now, lichoras here in town, they grow very well.
Mm-hmm.
They're related.
Okay.
And they do this on their own without any help. Because usually it is dry in the summertime. Yeah. And the leaves come up and they just die off when it gets hot. And then they have flowers just in the middle of the summer out of nowhere.
Right.
Then the flowers fall off. Then in the spring, the leaves come up and they die off. And then later on, they're called surprise lilies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's they're related. So that's kind of the deal. You just kind of follow that with the amaryllis, too, and let it develop a really nice leaves on it. It'll do just fine.
Okay.
So cool. Anyway, that leads us up to Shrub of the Week, which is Mahonia aquifolium.
Aquifolium.
Mahonia aquifolium, or otherwise known as the Oregon grape holly.
Oh, okay.
Now, this is a member of the barberry family, as are Nandinas, as are the Japanese barberries, the ones with the thorns,
mm-hmm.
we really like. And it has a compound and slightly thorny leaf with has kind of an upright growth habit to it. And the leaves turn purple in the winter and can have some red color actually on it in the fall, which persists throughout the winter.
Okay.
In the sun, this plant is almost indestructible.
That would be good, unless mm-hmm. you're trying to get rid of it, of course.
It's not for everybody, though. You can't shear it and expect it to look nice.
Kevin, sorry.
Sorry, yeah. But anyway, it grows in part sun to shade in almost any soil, but prefers loose, well-drained soil. What doesn't? And it grows about 36 inches tall, but there's compact varieties that grow a little bit smaller. It's almost like a ground cover. And it has clusters of yellow flowers in late spring with blueberries in summer and fall, which you probably don't want to eat. They're not toxic, but they don't make you comfortable.
Okay.
And the wood of this plant and the root is the stems and the roots are both exhibit the yellow color, which is characteristic of the barberry family. They have this bright yellow color to the stem and the roots.
Mm-hmm.
So I find it does pretty well around in here, but for some reason it just doesn't do the best here in town.
Okay.
But I don't know why. It did great in Georgia where I went to school, and it was in all of our landscape plans in school.
Mm-hmm.
But here it just has a hard time really being a super successful plant. It grows up and sort of dies off a little bit, and it just doesn't work that well for a long period of time. And I think it has something to do with a radically changing climate, and probably the lack of mineral content in the soil has a lot to do with that too.
Okay.
So it's not my favorite to use here in town. There are others that are parallels to that. You might consider Raphiolepis, which is a plant that's typically grown on the seashore. It has a very similar texture and growth and color characteristic. This is a member of the Prunus family, and it does have pink or white flowers on it in the spring. And it's kind of a low shrubby mass, sort of kind of like this would be too.
So the common name is holly, but it's not really a true holly.
Right. It's called Oregon grape holly. It's not a holly plant. There's some varieties of osmanthus, which look a lot like hollies, too.
Okay.
But they're not really hollies. We sell a variegated osmanthus. And say, oh, I like that variegated holly. Well, that's not a holly. And, oh, it's not a holly. No, it's an osmanthus. It's a different plant altogether. It just has a similar leaf structure as a holly plant. So, anyway, so there are parallels to this that I think are probably a little more successful. But I do have some Mahonias in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Been there for years. Dug it up out of somebody's yard. They got tired of them. So, okay, I'll take them. Put them in the yard. They've been there for 12 years. And they haven't done a thing. They just kind of sit there.
Mm-hmm.
But the texture and color is different than a lot of different plants. So they're kind of cool plants. What I have is a little leaf Mahonia, the Mahonia bali. And it does just fair here.
Okay.
So it's a good one. That's why I bring it up as a shrub of the week. If somebody you see it, somebody really pushing it online or something, you say, oh, Mahonia is the best plant. Well, here, maybe I wouldn't recommend them. It's just kind of a guess if it'll do well around here.
But if it does well, you probably are really nourishing it, and probably you've commended the soil quite a bit, I would guess.
Exactly, yeah. I think it likes just an average soil. It's a member of the Barbary family, which is a definite attribute to this plant. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, it just doesn't like our climate.
Okay.
So anyway, so it's a good plant, and if you have good luck with it, more power to you. But I've not had the best luck with the Oregon grape holly here. We don't really sell very many of them, just because they're just kind of so-so.
Okay.
So that's the shrub of the week. Sorry it's not a big successful plant, but then again, I think people need to know what doesn't do well as what does well in our climate. And I did mention some substitutes.
Sure.
The Raphiolepis, or even the Nandina, which is also a Barbary.
Mm-hmm.
The Obsession
Nandina. It's the Martian variety of Barbary.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It'll probably be a good parallel to this one. And if it don't, it'll have the texture won't quite be the same, and the variation in colors, as far as the purples and the reds, won't be the same shade. But the Obsession does have purples and reds in it, but it's just not quite the same as the Mahonia.
Okay. 800-749-5936, inviting you again on the open phone lines. We are listener-driven radio. If you have a question, we're talking about barberries, and you want to talk about pines or whatever, we'll change topics with no problem at all. 800-749-5936.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has a great selection of plants for inside and outside the home. Fill your home with vibrant houseplants, cactus, hanging plants, and more. Come by Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road and check out Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, winter hours, Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 4.
Reba McEntire. Growing up in Oklahoma, I had big dreams of becoming a successful country music singer. But I also knew the odds were against me and that I needed an education to fall back on. Studying never got in the way of my dreams. In fact, school gave me lots of opportunities I wouldn't have had otherwise with my career. Please stay in school and try your best. You never know where a good education might take you. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Hey, at our startup, my team and I move at the speed of tech 24/7. And every single day, it's information overload. It's coming at me from all directions. And you know what? Bottom line, I just need the news that matters. So where do I turn? Local radio and TV. I want to hear from people who live and work in my town. They give me the real story with information I know I can rely on. So where else can I find out what's happening in my community? Weather and traffic, things that affect my family and my business. I want to stay informed by sources I trust, my local radio and TV stations. For the best entertainment, sports, news, traffic, and weather, with no agenda and more reliable than other platforms. So if you ask me for the information I want anytime, anywhere, I stay local. Support your local station. Text radio to 52886 today. Furnished by the NAB and this station. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
I'm Dave Hunziker, and you've got the Bruins, Cardinals, Cowboys, and more on K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3.
800-749-5936, the telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Larry Glass to take your phone calls, and we still have about 13 and a half minutes or so for the program. Plenty of time for you to get in on what's going on Green Country Gardener.
Now, when it comes to landscaping and landscape design and whatnot, there are several different ways you can approach the types of plant materials you choose.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there can be something that's high, kind of high maintenance and has lots of flowers on it, to do a lot of pruning or whatever.
Okay.
And then there's low maintenance, which is typically associated with evergreen plants that are real easy to manage. Mm-hmm. like mine. And there's different types of plants too that you can put in. Some require a little bit more water, some don't require as much, and just whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're going to talk today about xerographic landscaping.
Xerographic with an X, not with a Z, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean no graphics.
Yeah.
It just means xerographic. It means it survives under drier conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these can be very attractive gardens, actually, and kind of a minimalist kind of garden, or it can be rather lush and full-looking, depending on the kind of look you want to generate on the house. But anyway, conserving water should be considered when planning a xerographic landscape or water conservation should be true. And the design can take any form, from a formal to maybe a sparsely planted one. Depends on how you set your scene. The use of a mix of gravels and pebbles and mulches and differing elevations can be created by stone terraces. In other words, you've got a flat area and I want to create an interesting landscape, but a xerographic landscape by itself can be kind of boring. So you go up to a bit more of a vertical expression, if you will, with the different terraces and levels.
Mm-hmm. I think I got it.
And this can be done with flat sandstones, or I like to use boulders. Mm-hmm. And a different arrangement to create different elevations, more or less a less formal vertical differentiation, if you will, using different sized boulders and whatnot.
Okay, so you got this Stonehenge thing going on. No.
Nah, yeah, right. So different elevations can be created by stone terraces. It can be done with flat stones or boulders.
Okay.
And large areas can actually have pathways through them. And those pathways can be made of gravel or pavers. I like to use the landscape pavers, mm-hmm. in different patterns.
Give a variety of colors and shapes and sizes there.
Exactly on that. And that can be a pathway through this garden. And it basically takes up space that you don't have to worry about watering or landscaping or weeding, for that matter. But anyway, the shape, it can take different shapes. I kind of like to go with a free-form shape on these a lot, too. Plant materials should both include shrubs and perennials and annuals, and there should be some appearance in the landscape pretty much all season long. For instance, at my house, I got a lavender plant right now, which is making a really good appearance. Even though it's been really cold,
right?
It says perennial lavender, and it's very, very attractive plant. So that kind of thinking, I think it's going to spread further and further into my landscape over time.
So it's not necessarily a drought-tolerant garden. It's just one that doesn't take a lot of water.
True.
Okay.
Yes, very true. It doesn't take a lot of water. Now the ground preparation, you should have a loose, well-drained soil and use compost and some coarse sand if the soil does not feel gritty when rubbed between your fingers. In other words, you prepare it before you do your soil prep. Pick up a sample and kind of rub it between your fingers, mm-hmm. and it should have just some grit in it. And if it doesn't have that, you want to add some coarse sand. I say the word coarse. You don't want to add mason sand.
Right.
Because mason sand's for one reason, to make masonry, and it gets, and it doesn't...
You're not making bricks
it
here.
It kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
You do want a coarse kind of sand in association with your compost or your peat moss, your organic material in the soil, and this helps retain soil very well. And the coarse sand helps keep it aerified, if you will. Mm-hmm. Okay? And then it should be in an area also that is well-drained. In other words, water can't collect there when it rains. Because usually when it rains here, if you look at the weather charts, it rains a whole lot for a period of time. Then it doesn't rain at all.
Yeah.
Then it rains kind of a whole lot, and then it doesn't rain at all. That's been the pattern we've been having lately. And who knows this year. But
well, you were in 2 or 3 weeks ago with the charts from the National Weather Service, and those are available on the National Weather Service. So
yeah. I found that webpage again. Now I can send you the link. I had a computer crash. I've been rebuilding it, and so I got to it. Now I can send it to you. But anyway, so an area, maybe a little bit of topography to this landscape, not necessarily a flatbed, but some topography, and you can generate that with these terraces or with the boulder terraces or whatever. Mm-hmm. So the water drains away from this, not towards it. If the water drains towards it, you want a rain garden. Which is a whole different story. We'll talk about that
different
later.
Plants entirely.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, you get your ground prep done. You get your elevation set. Now, what plants can I choose? Well, the sedums do very well in these. Rosemary, good plant to use. And for rosemary to be successful, you need to keep cutting it back. People don't do that. They just let it grow, and it gets big and ugly and falls over. You want to keep cutting back your rosemary. Lavender plants, I like to use hens and chicks. And achilleas, hollyhocks. For the backdrop, some mm-hmm. hollyhocks. We're working there too. Alliums, which are actually onions. Common thrift, artemisia, butterfly weed, or the asclepia plants.
Oh, okay.
Tick seed, or coreopsis, do very well. And most varieties of your salvias do quite well in xerographic landscapes. The Marcus variety is good blue color, and there's some other ones. The Petrovska is another one, which is the...
Not familiar with that one, but I'll...
It's a Russian sage does pretty well in these situations. Ice plant works real well.
Oh, okay.
Put that towards the front. Ice plant is doesn't mean it has to be cold.
No.
The ice plant has very colored flowers on it, and it's used over in California a lot because it is kind of droughty there, and they have a loose, rocky, sandy-type soil over there. It works rather well for ground covers on highways and things. Coneflowers do pretty well right here. And there's a huge list of shrubs, including crepe myrtles, Mughal pines, mentioned those, Orphiopan hollies, nandinas, abelias, and boxwoods, junipers, and some of the barberries will do very well in a xerographic type landscape. So to have some multi-seasonal interest, you got to have something in there that makes some appearance in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where your little Mughals come in handy, and dwarf nandinas, even obsession nandinas, and dwarf yopan hollies, even boxwoods can tolerate these conditions pretty well too. A lot of boxwoods are used in Las Vegas.
Yes.
Yeah, we went. They
collect money. I don't know.
No, but people go to Vegas for the obvious reasons. I go there to study the plants. My wife said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm taking pictures of these plants. I'll see what works well here. Maybe those can be plants that we can use in a more drought-tolerant landscape."
Mm-hmm.
Especially now, so that they're having issues with the lake over there. They can't have a lot, even a lot of grass.
Right.
And they've converted a lot to artificial turf over there because of that reason. So anyway, so that's a good cue on what plants to do very well in a xerographic landscape, or those that are used in an area that is
xerographic,
droughty. And the reason why I say, this is a particular genre we might consider using in the landscape is because, number one, water's getting kind of expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, it just makes your landscape unpleasant when you get your water bill.
Yes. So why did I do all that stuff that's going to have water every day?
Let's plan for something that looks nice around my house, has a favorable appearance around the house. It doesn't require a lot of care. These plants that I mentioned really don't have much of any pests at all to them.
Mm-hmm.
And something that they can thrive without requiring a lot of maintenance. Just run a leaf blower through it maybe occasionally or something like that to maintain it. Now, when you establish your plants, you should be watered as you would normally to get these plants established. You can't buy a plant for a xerographic landscape and put it in the ground and not water and expect it to do. They have to develop a root system.
Yes.
That's where this comes in. Root stimulator.
The root and grow stimulator, yeah.
Right. It'll accelerate the process a little bit, and these plants should be watered to get them established.
Okay. Then gradually back off to...
Gradually you can back off to it, and they'll be on their own. Okay?
800-749-5936, and we'll get some more tips for you on Green Country Gardener coming up in just a bit.
If you're replacing your old windows, make sure you replace your old window problems. Go with the most trusted name in windows, Anderson Windows and Doors. Time proven, durable, low maintenance, and energy efficient. And with their beautiful wood interiors, you're not just replacing, you're upgrading. Anderson 400 Series Replacement Products, because there's no replacement for confidence. See Anderson Windows and Doors at Overlees Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
Check out Four Seasons Ag and Lawn for great deals on Coyote tractors with warranties up to 6 years. Four Seasons Ag and Lawn is Oklahoma's number one Coyote dealership. Get a tractor with a cab for comfort from a 35 horsepower, and it goes on up from there, so the little guy can be comfortable in the summer and winter at Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, awarded the Five Paw Dealer Excellence Award. Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, 3 miles southwest of Ulaga on 169.
Hi, I'm John Selmar. Why should you come by and see how we take care of our people here at Four Seasons Ag and Lawn in Ulaga, Oklahoma.
I see it all the time. They leave early in the morning and come back very late.
The curtains, they're always closed. And there's so many people living in that house.
I know. They look scared all the time. It seems like he runs the show.
He's always talking for them.
Seems friendly enough, though.
I'm not even sure if it's the same people I saw last week.
This doesn't make any sense. We have to tell someone. We need to report this.
Modern-day slavery is happening in our own backyard. Know the signs and join the Blue Campaign in the fight to end human trafficking. Call 1-866-347-2423 or go to www.dhs.gov/bluecampaign for more information.
...800-749-5936, the telephone number to get you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Larry Glass answering your garden questions. Still a couple of minutes yet to go if you want to give us a call and get in on the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anyway. Yeah, speaking of xerographic landscapes, few years back, one that won a landscape award for the entire year, mm-hmm. over everything else, was what they called a crack garden.
Okay.
And that was using cracks in the pavement to establish plants in a creative manner. And it took a great deal of thought in order for this to be as successful as it was.
And here my mom was sending me out to get the grass out of in between the bricks and the
no,
sidewalk.
No, this is not grass. They use these kind of plants I mentioned. And it was really, really quite attractive. And in a difficult area, it worked out really rather well.
Yeah.
So using your creative mind in difficult areas is a good way to have a kind of a nice landscape. You gotta have a little bit of knowledge of plant materials too, mm-hmm. and what will grow in those situations. Well, anyway, that's kind of interesting thing on xerographic landscaping. Maintenance on those: just water sparingly, fertilize with a slow release, integrate some osmocote in the soil every 4 months or so, and a pre-emergent will help prevent weeds from growing. You will get weeds, and just like everything else, you get weeds in it. So. Keep some mulch on. At the nursery right now, what do we have? We've got a lot of cacti.
Oh, sure.
At the nursery, we have some blooming things too.
So mm-hmm.
blooming plants for Valentine's Day and whatnot. So come check it out and see what we got over there.
Okay.
We got some new pots in, waterfalls and things. We're getting things ready for spring, actually. I said, Gary, we need to get going, get this place ready for spring.
Sure.
So that's happening right now. We're getting new inventory in, and some new plants are coming in. We got some things in the works that I think people are going to get excited about this next spring.
And if you're looking for a fruit tree, now would be the time to get one ordered.
Now would be the time to give us a shout and see if we can get it. If not, you might go to Stark Brothers.
Okay.
And get them. But it's getting they're going to run out. You're going to run out of shipping time. We've got. About the middle end of February is when you want to get those delivered. So you got to get them ordered. It takes a while to process the order and get the shipment out. So
okay.
If you want some fruit trees.
Yeah, takes a shovel to get it done.
About time to sharpen that shovel. We'll see you next week.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall. This is KWON Bartlesville and K227CQ Bartlesville. On the-